in a message prepared on Elijah, the final one. I felt impressed all day today to give a short thoughts on the subject of prayer, and then we will break off to pray. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's do this willingly. The burden, of course, is a weight, something that weighs an individual down. It could be a concern. It could put a lot of things under the word burdens. One of the ways that we bear one another's burdens, of course, is prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read, pray one for another. And we encourage you to do that every week, to pray one another. The reasons are innumerable why we should pray for one another. All the reasons you need prayer is all the reasons someone else needs prayer, and maybe more. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 5, Samuel said to Israel, gather all Israel to Mizpah. They wanted them to all assemble there at Mizpah. He said, I will pray for you. You to gather there, and the purpose is that I will pray for you. The children of Israel gather. 1 Samuel 7, verse 8, they said unto Samuel, cease not to pray unto the Lord our God for us. They are requesting Samuel to pray for them. And we see Paul often in his epistles requesting the prayers of the churches. Request prayer, you do that because you believe that that person is going to pray. You're not going to ask a lost person to pray for you because you know that they don't pray. You only ask people who you think will pray. So the fact that Paul, many occasions, asked the churches to pray for him, he obviously had observed them in prayer and many visits to the churches. He knew that they prayed. So he asked the churches to pray for him. And in several places of the book of Acts, we see the church gathered together with the purpose of prayer. We see it in Acts chapter 1. See it in Acts chapter 4, see it in Acts chapter 6, and we see it in Acts chapter 12, the church assembling together for the purpose of prayer. Now notice in Acts chapter 12, we've preached from this passage many times, but Acts chapter 12, verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. The feast of unleavened bread was about to occur. When it apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept. He was guarded in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God with him. And we see that Peter would, after he was miraculously delivered from prison, he would go to the house where the church had been assembled for the purpose of praying. Prayer was made for him. They prayed fervently for Peter. They prayed in unity for Peter. They were all praying the same thing. They prayed specifically. Prayed that the Lord would protect Peter. That the Lord would watch over Peter. They felt the need to pray. Certainly, something is wrong with us if we do not feel the need to pray. The days in which we live, we ought to feel the need to pray more than we ever have before. People are more needy than they've been in the past. People have more problems for whatever reasons. So there's a greater need to pray, and we ought to feel the need to pray, and obviously the church felt the need to pray. And not only that, they were convicted of the far-reaching power of prayer. If you're not going to pray if you do not feel that it's going to do any good. So they obviously prayed because they knew of the far-reaching power of prayer. They knew that God's power could reach Peter in that prison, behind the iron gates, all the soldiers. They knew that God could move in all of that. Throughout the scriptures, prayer is very significant. Its significance is seen from in several areas. First of all, we are exhorted continually to pray. The continual exhortation to pray tells us that prayer is very significant. It's a very significant aspect in the child of God's life. We also see that there are many examples of people praying in the Word of God. Old Testament and New Testament. Men and women. Nations. Kings. People praying in all kinds of places, under all kinds of conditions, under all kinds of circumstances. We see many examples of people praying, and God gives us those examples to, again, show us the significance of prayer. We are encouraged to pray. The Word of God, the very teachings of God's Word, the doctrine of God's Word, encourages us to pray. When you think of the character of God, you think of the sovereignty of God. That's an encouragement to pray. Again, we've stated many times, I don't know why anyone would pray who didn't believe in the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God, the attributes of God, encourage us to pray. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is praying. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." That's a characteristic of God. He's the Father. His fatherhood encourages us to pray. He says, "I bow my knees unto the Father." He says in verse 16 that he, the Father, would grant you. That he would grant you. That he would, and he goes on and he mentions things that he prays for specifically. They were all spiritual matters. But my point is he recognized the character of God. He They also recognized that it was in God's ability to give what he was asking. We believed in the ability of the Lord. When we pray because we believe that God can do it. We ask God to do something because we believe that if he so pleases, he can do that. And we can. But he can. So we pray. Notice in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Again, this is part of his prayer. But notice there's seven things there in that 20th verse. He's able. He's able. We have to believe that if we're going to pray. He's able. Someone will say, well, such and such is impossible. That there may very well be, humanly speaking. But he is able. He is able. Secondly, he's able to do. He acts. He's able to do. He's not just able. He's able to do. Then notice thirdly, he's able to do abundantly. And then fourthly, go back a little bit, he's able to do exceeding abundantly. That is, he's able to do beyond abundance. Exceeding abundantly. And then we see fifthly, above all. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. That's still describing his ability to do. Sixthly, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Anything you ask, he's able to do, unless you ask him to do something unscriptural. And you're not going to do that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There are things we think that we may not ask. He's able to do above all that we can even possibly think. Above all that you and I can possibly imagine. So the character of God encourages us to pray. The character in need of man encourages us to pray. We're weak, we're feeble, we're needy. That's true of ourselves individually, that's true of everyone. So the character in need of man encourages us to pray. We have an advocate who's willing to present our prayers. Someone will say, well, I'm not very fluent in praying. I'm not quite sure what to say. It's okay, because you have an advocate who's willing to present your prayers unto God. In fact, that's the only way that they're answered, is if Christ presents them. There's the Holy Spirit to help us. He interprets our groaning. Sometimes you can't even put prayer into words. The Holy Spirit helps there. He teaches us what to pray for. He teaches us how to pray. All of these things are encouragements to pray, which teaches us the significance of prayer. Another thing that shows us the significance of prayer is the Lord in Matthew 6, teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to pray. What he teaches there is not a prayer to be repeated, because the very context goes against that. vain repetitions. But he's teaching us the contents of true prayer. He's teaching us how to pray. Now, the Lord takes the time to teach us how to do something, then I would say that's pretty significant. That must be pretty important in our lives. There is also, to show the significance of prayer, there's much instruction throughout the Word of God concerning prayer. Not only does Christ teach us, but the men who were inspired to write the Word of God, they instruct us throughout the Word of God how to pray. The importance of prayer. Another thing that teaches us the significance of prayer and certainly encourages us to pray, goes back to the character of God, is He hears and He answers prayer. Psalm 65 and verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer. God hears prayer. That God would hear a request from a human being is grace. That's mercy. That's the goodness, the long-suffering, the love, on and on you can go, of the Lord. But the fact that He hears prayer and answers prayer, and He's pleased with prayer. 1 Timothy 2, it pleases God to see His people praying. Pleases the Lord. We see the significance of prayer is also seen in the fact that we're told over and over to persevere in prayer. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. We're not to quit. Not to give up praying. We're to continue to pray. And if something is to be persevered in, then it's important. It's significant. We're to persevere in prayer. So prayer is a very valuable resource for the child of God. We find help. You may pray for someone else, but when you pray, you yourself will find help in prayer. Prayer doesn't hurt us. Prayer doesn't harm us. Prayer helps us. Prayer strengthens. And when a church or a group of people pray, there's strength in that. There's strength in people crying out unto God. There's joy to be had in prayer. There's peace to be had in prayer. Someone says, I don't know what to do. Well, that's a good time. Prayer is a resource of peace. Find much assurance in prayer. God may not answer the exact request, but even when He doesn't, the child of God finds assurance in prayer because of who He is. Find guidance in prayer. Even when you don't ask for it. Even when you don't go to God and specifically ask for guidance in some matter in your life, you pray, and God will speak, and there's just guidance in prayer. There's wisdom that comes from the guidance. There's wisdom to be had. Praying. There's comfort. Comfort in praying. So God is able. Therefore we pray. God is gracious. Therefore we pray. He's merciful. God is merciful. He's faithful. faithful to His person. Faithful to His will. And not denying Himself. He's loving. He's loving. You can trust Him. You can trust God. You can tell God anything. In fact, you might as well, because we already know. He's loving. He's caring. He's sustaining. He's sustaining. And we'll close again if we go to Ephesians 3. I want to read that verse again. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able, whatever the need is, He's able. Whatever it is. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can act in a way that surpasses anything we ask. How many times you've asked God for something specific, and He answered your prayer in a way that you didn't even ask for? And He answers it much better than what you asked for. That's the proof of this verse. He's able to do above anything we ask or think, and the capability that He has is beyond our expectations. The truth, well, I just speak for myself. But I'm sure I'm no different than the rest of you. The truth is, we don't expect enough from God to do for us. Our expectations, even though they might be great, are below who He is. They're below who He is. They're below what God can do. So tonight, again, we want to pray. There are several that are in need of much prayer. And we need to be praying. Pray for Sister Ruth, her thyroid condition. And don't be afraid to ask that the Lord just heal her. The Lord just work a miracle to heal her. She's tired really fast. Pray that the Lord would fix that as well. Pray for her as continual fluid builds up, liver and kidney problems. These are serious issues. Sister Ruth, Sister Renee, Brother Mel, talked to him this afternoon. He has congestive heart failure. He's got 3 X-rays this tomorrow. Remember him. Her Sister Angela, her pregnancy difficulties that are there. Pray for the baby. Lord, what miracles there. Pray for Sister Melody and her disability. Lord, you grant that. Pray for her. Sister Barb has needs. Pray for Brandon. Pray to save his soul. Many problems, just pray for him. The loss that are in our midst at every single service. Pray for them. Lord, to save them. Pray for Shiloh. And there's many others. But again, we want to just pray. Does anyone have any requests?